Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I talk to some of the top marketers in the industry and find out what makes them tick. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. My guest today is the awesome Phil Drinkwater, who I won't introduce. I will let Phil introduce himself because he will do a much better job of it than I can. Phil, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks very much for allowing me on to your show. So as a brief introduction, I guess I've been in marketing, online marketing specifically, for about 20 years now, which is pretty much about a year or two after Google started.
Wow, that's crazy. I did not think you'd been in the industry from that long, judging by your Twitter picture. You look like early 20s easily.
That's proper flattery. Thank you for that. I started in 1999. My brother and I actually started a website which we thought would be beneficial to the marketplace. It's a directory of recruitment agencies. And looking back now, at the time, it was really hard to find things. No one had optimized their site. You know, it was tough to find information. So the idea was, you know, let's produce this site which goes and helps people. And the jobs market, the online jobs market, was just getting started as well. But we decided to go in a slightly different direction. So about a year or two into that, we thought, we've got a website now, but there's no traffic. And that's kind of where I started with SEO. I actually bought some manual that came from America, because there was literally in the UK, there was pretty much no information that I could find at all. So that's kind of where it all started.
Right. We will definitely dig into that during the episode. But before we go any further in learning all about you, Phil, we will do a little bit of an icebreaker. So I wanted to ask you, if you could have the power of teleportation right now, where would you go and why?
It's a really good question. I think if I was to be totally selfish about it, it would probably be one of the kind of overwater huts in the Maldives, because I really love the sunshine and incredible views and all of that kind of stuff. If I was to go a little bit closer to home, it would probably be in Val d'Isère, in the south of France, you know, in all of the kind of mountainous areas, which is amazing. People know it as a ski resort, but it's absolutely incredible in the summer for walking. So one of those two, probably the Maldives, if I had literally had anywhere that I could go to.
Great call. For me, that's a great shout. I used to have idyllic locations as my desktop background, but I often found that my mind was wandering and I was getting sort of like, oh, I'd love to go here. So I just changed it to a very plain and boring blue background so I didn't get
too distracted.
Yeah, too distracted is probably the best way to put it. Anyway, less about me, more about you, Phil. So you touched on your beginnings of the industry there, yeah, which is really interesting. What point did you realize that marketing was going to be the career for you?
So I guess, like a lot of people, specifically in SEO, I would say, I fell into it really. It was there for by need. You know, we needed traffic. I don't think I really quite realized, if I'm honest, that I was a marketer, maybe until about 8 or possibly 10 years ago, where I started to go to the occasional conference and I was with all of these young marketers who'd gone and done degrees in marketing and things. And I think at that point I realized that I am actually a marketer. It was a bit of a surprise for me, if I'm being really honest. So yeah, probably about 8 or 10 years ago. And when did I decide it was the career for me? I think it uses quite a lot of my interests and skills. So I'm actually by trade a programmer, which is unexpected, but I have, you know, therefore a very kind of analytical, process driven mindset. I also have some training in psychology, and, you know, I find psychology is, you know, very useful in certainly in online marketing and probably wider marketing. And so I think it uses all of my particular interest points, you know, whether that's, you know, technical, you know, and my technical interests, the psychology side of thing. And also I do some kind of visual design and things. I'm also a keen photographer, and I've done some professional photography and things. So it sort of pulls all of that together, maybe in the best way possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Listening to some of the skills that you've got puts you perfectly placed to be a marketer, certainly, especially with you, what you mentioned about the background in psychology and everything else, and also being quite visual, something that I've just taken away there. Definitely, possibly even gives you a head start. You also mentioned there about the length of experience that you've had in the industry. I'm sure that you must have seen so much change during your time working in the industry. Thinking about that, if you could go back to when you first began in the industry, knowing what you know now, what advice do you think that you'd give to yourself?
I mean, given that it was 20 years ago, and the advice I'd give to someone today would actually be probably a bit different. But in the early days, when no one really knew what SEO was, we just built sites and tried to optimize them. But the thing that I would say to myself back then is go and build some more sites and start testing things. So it's very popular, or certainly became very popular about maybe 15 years ago, for SEOs to start building sites and testing lots of things. And in the early days, we really didn't do any of that kind of stuff. So I would probably say go and build lots of sites and try lots of stuff out. I also think I would have been quite interested to get into affiliate marketing. So I might have said, you know, go and have a look at, you know, at that. But 20 years ago as an industry, I don't know whether it even really existed. I think I remember affiliate window turning up about maybe 12 to 15 years ago or something like that. Or certainly I became first aware of it at that time. I think I would have been really interested to be involved in the affiliate market.
Definitely. It's something that I had very fleeting thoughts about, but never really explored any further, which is a shame, but here we are. Speaking a little bit then about your entire working career, I'm sure, as I just mentioned, you've probably seen and learned a lot of things. Can you share some of the things that you've learned from your working career with the listeners?
Yeah, so I used to write computer games, which is where my programming background was. I went and did a degree and then went into kind of computer games industry. And I think I learned a lot from that, but probably in the last 20 years, the key lesson that I would take away in terms of running a profitable business in any industry is that you need to sell defined processes and procedures multiple times. It's very hard to be completely bespoke on everything and still be, you know, profitable. People generally won't be willing to pay for that. And it's a generalization. There will always be exceptions to that rule. But whenever I'm looking at businesses and business opportunities, I'm always thinking, you know, well, how can I make that into processes? And certainly I listen to, you know, occasional podcasts and things as well. And I'm very interested in the people who talk a lot about making processes, you know, turning what people might consider magic that they are as business owners and saying, well, maybe we're not quite so magic. And in actual fact, we can build processes out of these things. So certainly if you've got a marketing agency, if you want to grow that would be the first area that I would look at.
Yeah, that's some really great advice there, which I think the listeners would definitely take some value from. You also mentioned there about sources of inspiration, including podcasts as well. Mm. What about people? Who has been a big inspiration to you in the industry?
So I've largely only in the last year or so particularly been that involved. You know, I guess I've kept my head down and just done what seems right for, you know, for me and for our business. But someone that I have been, you know, following for quite some time and it's probably inspired me from an SEO perspective is Bill Slorsky, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right there. I've never directly spoken to him, so we'll have to see whether he complains if he hears this. you know, he if you know the SEO industry at all, you know, he follows a lot of kind of Google patents and looks at what Google is talking about from their patents and tries to understand where Google is going as a business. Now, for me, I take some of that and I then look at it from through the kind of, you know, the glasses of a programmer. And because obviously, you know, Google has lots of programmers, and then I kind of try and interpret, you know, maybe what I think the direction, you know, could be. But I would say that, you know, he's fantastic in everything that he does for the SEO community in terms of getting information out there, which is just genuinely really helpful and useful. I think he's got about 50,000 followers, and I would say that's very, very well deserved.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And much like yourself, I don't think we've had direct interactions, but I think we've probably been on a few chats on social media where we've been answering questions, and he's definitely one of those people where I look at his answers that he gives, and it definitely makes me think critically about my own answers, and it allows me to appreciate other people's viewpoints and like, well, actually, that's a really sensible way of putting things. And he constructs them in such an easy to read way as well. So yeah, a great call there, great shout. I'm sure if he's listening, he'll enjoy that.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he is very sensible in all of his answers. They make sense. They're well thought out. You know, he obviously has a long history with the industry as well. And he's seen a lot over the years, as I certainly have. But I think, you know, taking the approach of looking at patents and trying to, you know, piece together, as I think I've seen him say in the past, you know, the ones that keep coming up time and time again, and where Google are maybe refining them, they're the ones that, you know, you want to be paying particular interest to.
Definitely, definitely. Great, really interesting to listen to. Let's move on a little bit then, and let's talk about your business specifically. What do you think the biggest challenges that you're facing with that, and how are you going to overcome them?
Yeah, so I guess I'm in a little bit of a transition period at the moment. My current business is, you know, still going strong, and, you know, we're a great business. But I'm trying to broaden my own horizons at the moment, and move more into the kind of marketing field. I would use the word agency, although I think it may end up not being what most people call an agency. So the biggest challenge, I guess, for me is, even though I've kind of done this once and I've built a business, it's still belief. There's so many people out there who are starting lots of things, and you look around and you can't, you know, everyone talks about the phrase imposter syndrome. And even as someone who's been in the industry for 20 years, I still kind of look around and go, you know, oh, you know, they know this, they know that, they know the other. And I've recognized that that's comes down to some extent to just belief. You know, that I have something, you know, very relevant to say. And certainly, you know, my background gives me, you know, a unique perspective. And also, you know, that it's okay if you fail sometimes, and if something doesn't quite go right, and maybe my, you know, first attempt at this doesn't work, and I'll learn from it, and put something else into the plans next time. So yeah, it's that really which is the challenge. It's just having the belief that I'm moving forward in a good direction.
Definitely. Again, something that I think will resonate with the listeners for sure. Let's talk about COVID then. Yeah. Has it affected your business? And if it did, how have you responded to it?
So the original business, all businesses have been affected either, you know, up or down. I think what we've recognized, again, as someone that's been through this will be our second recession now, it makes me realize and remember that people really care about profitability, and they want to know that, you know, when it comes down to it, if someone pays you £100, they're hoping to earn £500 from that. And we've been, you know, pretty lucky really in terms of, you know, the business, you know, it's not, you know, gone too bad for us. But talking about a second about, you know, me moving forward a little bit, it has made me remember that from the last time that we were in recession, the 2008, it's actually one of the best times to start new businesses. And this question comes up quite a lot on a Facebook group that I'm on, which is a kind of a business one. You know, is it really a good time to start a business? And it absolutely is, because generally speaking, in non-recessions, people are focused just on carrying their business on. They're not looking at trying to, you know, to new approaches or those kinds of things. So their eyes elsewhere. It's not maybe on, you know, well, that service might be a bit better than the one we've been using for 5 years. They'll just keep going with the one they've been using for 5 years. But in these times, people do actually start thinking, well, maybe there is something better out there. Maybe there is something which, you know, can, you know, reduce my costs or something. So I think, you know, COVID, there will be some businesses, obviously, that struggle quite significantly. Obviously, the travel industry, I suspect, may be one of them. But it can be a real opportunity for people to take a fresh look at the market and say, well, what does the market want today? And offer that in a way maybe that, you know, their competitors who they were struggling to, you know, win against, you know, maybe their competitors just aren't doing that. So yeah, how did we respond? I guess, you know, the original business, you know, we've made some changes and things, but in terms of me moving forward, it's thinking again about that real fundamental point of people want to make profit from, you know, whatever it is that you're delivering to them.
That's really interesting. Thank you for that. That's a very good answer, because certainly my observation is when it comes to talking about starting a new business, there's very much a common misconception that now, well, in a recession, it's the wrong time to do it. So one thing that I would say for anybody listening is that if you're considering starting a new business, definitely reach out to Phil, who'll be sharing his contact details at the end, because it sounds like he has got a lot of insight to share about that. Thank you very much for that. Really interesting.
Yeah, welcome.
You mentioned there about a Facebook group that you're in. I imagine that's one of the many resources that you use to sort of continue to learn, share and gain knowledge in order to sort of stay on top of the industry. Can you share any more resources that you're using to sort of keep on top and keep in line with the industry?
Yeah, I mean, I guess one thing I would say is it's very easy in today's world to become a little bit overwhelmed with the amount of information that's out there. And there's a lot, especially in, you know, marketing. People are very generous with their knowledge, which is amazingly helpful, amazingly helpful. But so I think one thing I do as a, I think that's important for me is actually to filter a fair amount of it out and think, well, that's not relevant to me or the people that, you know, will want to work with me. And that brings it down to, you know, an amount which is usable. When it comes to SEO, I mean, I have a few accounts that I've, you know, follow and would certainly look at. You know, I've already mentioned Bill's account, and, you know, certainly, you know, focus on that. I think I also get involved in some Twitter chats, and I'm also very interested to hear what other people have to say on those. On Facebook, SEO Signals Lab has been, you know, great for gaining an understanding of what's happening in, you know, the SEO industry in different areas. I would say it's useful because there's so many different people at so many different levels of the market. I've seen, you know, Google or people talking about, you know, being hit by Google algorithm updates, especially the January, April and May ones. And having a, you know, I'll often reach out to them and say, oh, I'll take a quick look at it if you like. And I can go and see from that all of the reasons that people are struggling, you know, maybe today with their traffic and the kind of sites that, you know, Google are clearly not liking in the, you know, modern algorithms. So I think that's been, you know, particularly useful. I also, you know, as you say, I I hang out on some kind of business forums and things, as much as anything to understand, you know, what it is that people care about, because they'll talk about what they care about. You know, if they're asking questions, they need answers. When it comes to SEO, I mean, I work, you know, in more than just SEO areas. I work in, you know, UX and conversion rate optimization and those kinds of things, which are probably topics that people don't understand or even know exist today, at least in, you know, kind of small business areas. But it can be really helpful just to sit and listen and think, you know, well, that's something that people obviously care about. You know, it's something that someone wants to know. So I think, you know, being involved in business forums would be a recommendation of mine.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. And then post this episode, if you can share some links, I'll definitely make sure to put them in the show notes when this episode goes out.
Sure.
You mentioned there, Phil, about some people who've been going through where they've been hit by Google updates and everything else, so things where they've possibly failed at. Let's talk a little bit about failure for yourself. What do you think has been the biggest failure for you in the last year, and why do you think that happened?
Good question. People don't like to talk about failures, do they? But it, it was very interesting. I was on a talk, and the person was talking about digital PR and how, you know, they always talk about these big campaigns which went amazingly and they got 97 links from, you know, the best sites in the world. And and the point that the lady was making was that actually that isn't what they get in on average, and people do fail and campaigns fail and, you know, all of those kinds of things. So I think it is actually, it's human to talk about failures, and it helps to kind of bring people together a little bit, because let's be really honest, we all fail. You can look at, you know, the most successful people in the world, and they fail. They start something and you probably only hear about the wins. You probably don't hear so much about the things that they don't do so well. So I guess for me, I started doing a course back in April, I think. I came up with the idea of it, and I started doing it in May, and it's still not finished. I think I'm being too perfectionist about it, if I'm being really honest. So it's specific in SEO. It's an area of SEO, but something very specific to a specific audience. And I don't know. I just keep getting to the stage where I think, oh, I need to put that into it, and I need to put that into it. And I'm just not getting it released. And I pulled back off it for maybe a month now, because I think I need to sort of reevaluate maybe what it needs to be, and, you know, become just a little bit less perfectionist. You know, and just talking about perfectionism for a second, you know, perfectionism, you know, it's a problem for some people. I certainly have struggled with it at times. And people look at it and think, oh, you know, but everything should be perfect. But I think, you know, people who can be perfectionist, they don't want things to be perfect. They want things to be more than perfect. And that leads to an enormous amount of procrastination, as I think I've found with this. So it's not that I don't want it to be great. I do want it to be great. I actually want it to be 110% great, which is never possible to achieve. So I just keep going on and on and on with it. So yeah, that's probably, you know, been a little bit of a kind of learning experience for me. And I have other things going on at the moment that, you know, other kind of, you know, things that I'm trying to learn from this and and produce something that's great, but not something that's perfect, as in over perfect. So yeah, that's probably been the thing that I've learned most from and been my biggest failure for this year. Because I spent a lot of time on it, and it deserves to be out there. It'd be great for the market, but I'll get there.
So what you've done there, Phil, is, I'm sure you don't need me to remind you, but this is being recorded and it's now a podcast, so you've put it out there now. You're gonna have to finish it.
I have. It will get my friend keeps telling me, because she's actually in the industry which would benefit from this, and she's like, just get it done because I want to take it. And I'm like, I will. But yes, it will get done. I will make that promise.
Good stuff. You've held yourself accountable there. I suspect I know the answer to the next question now, which is going to be, what are you working on right now?
Well, it actually is it's quite a lot of things. So I've been working on the course. I've also been working on some e-commerce stuff. So some specific things that, you know, people can buy, one of which is, I'm not going to mention quite what it is because I don't really know how that one's going to go. But it's there as a bit of a learning exercise more than it is anything else. I think you can learn a lot from, you know, different types of businesses. I guess the key thing for me at the moment is I'm working on what people would probably want to call, you know, a digital marketing agency, but I'm really not calling it that. It's much more a focused lead gen solution for a particular industry that I think it will suit. So it's a bit of a new way of doing things, and at least to me, I'm sure that, you know, there's some other people who've, you know, followed this path as well. But I think, you know, with a digital marketing agency more generally, I think the market is changing, and certainly if I look back at my time in marketing as a business owner, I was always looking for the return on investment, and I think, you know, the digital marketing industry has probably not quite cottoned on to that fact in all cases. And, you know, just from speaking to people in that particular industry, I think they've become a little bit uncertain about how to move forward. They realize that they need digital, and, you know, they need traffic and they need conversions. But, you know, when people talk about, you know, will you need a website, what they really mean is they need a highly converting website, and they don't realize that, they don't understand. So they go and buy this thing called a quotes website, and, you know, sometimes they're lucky and they get a highly converting one, and sometimes not so much. So I think, you know, my idea for the future very much is in, you know, lead generation and using digital marketing tools for lead generation, as opposed to just having this thing called a digital marketing agency.
Awesome. Good luck with that. I really hope it works out for you and you get the end product that you deserve.
Thank you.
We are now going to come to the part of the podcast where essentially you get to interview yourself. So what is something that you would ask yourself that I've not asked you?
Well, we probably touched on it a little bit, or certainly I did in my early conversation with you, about how did you get to where you are. And this is probably more for people who are relatively new in the industry, and, you know, maybe they're starting, you know, their kind of digital marketing journey. And it comes down to the facets, I think, or the attributes of being a, you know, a good digital marketer. And I think, you know, you look at analytics, you know, as something that I would say is incredibly important for digital marketers. I think that's exceptionally important. And, you know, I have an analytical background and a mathematical background. I also think psychology is exceptionally important, understanding people's psychological drivers. I'm starting to coin a phrase called psychological search intent at the moment, and there will be some, you know, more information coming out about that, because I think, you know, SEOs talk a lot about search intent, and then they'll talk about transactional or informational search phrases. But I think, you know, what's really important is to consider the reason why people did that search today and what they're really looking for as an outcome. So I think psychology and psychological drivers, understanding a bit about the subconscious is extremely important. And I know, you know, if you look at some of, I forget the book particularly, but there was an advertising book from, it may even been from like the 80s, where, you know, some copywriters who, you know, launched very much, you know, this industry looking at, you know, people's kind of deep psychological drivers, you know, they were extremely successful in, you know, advertising, because they started to think, well, what do people really want? So I think, you know, psychology is extremely important. I think the other thing for me, you know, is having some kind of technical knowledge. I don't think you need to be particularly a programmer, but I do think, you know, some kind of understanding of how the internet works and, you know, those kinds of things, I think are very, very important. So the question, I guess, would have been, you know, how did you get to where you are? Now, I preempted that slightly and I went and answered it, but that would probably be the question, because I think in that is how I've managed to be successful in my own business and in digital marketing.
Definitely. That's really interesting, actually. I'm really glad that you've managed to share that with us on the podcast. Coming to the end of the podcast, unfortunately, which is a shame, and I always say this, but I do really enjoy talking to the guests, and I've definitely learned a lot from you, Phil.
Fantastic.
Just before you go, last couple of questions, and the first one is, have you got one marketing tip that you can share with our listeners to help them to do their jobs better?
Okay, yeah. I think my marketing tip is not a marketing tip.
Go on.
I'll explain why. As a business owner, I've mentioned this a few times, we had to look at the return on investment that we were getting from doing marketing. And we had to make decisions about, you know, well, do we go and spend money here? You know, this conversion rate optimization tool or agency, this, you know, SEO tool, you know, what's really mattering to us. And I had my marketing hat on, obviously, but I also had to have my business owner hat on. And many marketers, I think, will come directly from a marketing background, and they don't necessarily work directly in businesses, or what I would call businesses, as in, you know, just traditional businesses. They work in agencies. And if that's you, I would say go and spend some time on like these marketing forums and things, and understand what entrepreneurs and more mature businesses really care about, because they absolutely want to make some, you know, return on the investment that they're making. I see, you know, some, you know, marketers will tend to say, oh, you know, well, you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do the other. And the question then is why? And when asked why, sometimes people aren't able to say why in a way which a business really cares about. The business cares about the return. So if you want to set up an email campaign, for example, you want to, you know, start gathering email addresses and so on and so forth, the business is going to care about what they can make from that. The act of setting up email marketing in and of itself is irrelevant to the business owner. The business owner is interested in the return that they can make from that. So the marketing tip is actually to understand more about business and what business owners really think about day to day, you know, minute to minute. I think you can align yourself a lot better with what businesses care about if you really understand where they're coming from.
Awesome. That's really interesting. Thank you very much for sharing that. Picture this. You need to get into the zone where you need maximum productivity. What is your go-to song, artist, playlist? What is in your ears?
Well, so I come from a kind of 90s indie background, so I really like the likes of Radiohead and those kinds of things. But if I'm really trying to get in the zone, it's actually not those. If I'm really trying to struggle my way through, you know, something, you know, a problem or something, I'll actually listen to opera. I really like the kind of passion that's in, you know, particularly sort of Italian opera, and that rubs off on me, and I become quite creative around that. And I think, you know, creativity, which is, you know, something we've maybe not touched on too much, but creativity is allowing yourself, allowing your mind to dream, and I guess opera does that for me.
Brilliant. And I'm really glad that you've mentioned that, because in some of the episodes that I have released and some that are upcoming, typically there's a theme that the marketers that I've spoken to will listen to either things like Kanye West or generally more stuff that is typically like rock and heavy. So I just think that, you know, these people are sitting there listening to this kind of heavy stuff, and I just think, how can you get any work done? Me, typically, I like a bit of indie, but I listen to, there's a playlist on Spotify called Music for Concentration, or anything that is just piano and soft, something that I don't need to actively listen to, but I can passively listen to.
Yeah,
helps me really get into that creative zone. So I'm glad there's a slight similarity there. I have not checked out opera yet, but I'm sure if you swing some links my way, I will definitely check that out.
I will do. You know, it's not for everyone, and I do get it. It seems to be one of those, you know, love or hate things. I don't think there's a lot in between. So, you know, you might hate it, and that's fine. But I think it's just about, it's finding the thing that gets you in your kind of creative headspace. I think that's the key thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. Phil, thank you very much. This has been a brilliant episode. If people want to find out more about you or get in touch, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter a fair amount. That's probably the area that I, or the social media platform that I focus on most at the moment. And I'm Phil_drinkwater. So drinkwater is just as it sounds. That's drink and water stuck together. You can understand that I've said that a few times in my life. and PhilDrinkwater.com is my website. And I am on LinkedIn as well. And you're welcome to connect to me. Maybe later on in the year, I'll be doing a little bit more on LinkedIn. But certainly at the moment, Twitter is probably the best place.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Phil. As I've mentioned, you've been a great guest. Really enjoyed having you on the show. I will leave the final word on this episode to you.
Okay, so I think the final word for me would be, in terms of marketing, you know, have your favorite channels, have your favorite platforms, definitely, but do your analysis. Everything really comes back down to, you know, numbers. Each of the channels and platforms have their different ways of working, you know, SEO, social, pay-per-click advertising. Do your numbers, do your analysis, you know, go into detail about, you know, where your visitors are coming from and which ones are really converting. Your answers might surprise you. And certainly I've been surprised many, many times when I've started to look at real data. Just don't ignore the data.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some of the top names in this industry, and I hope that you are too. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating, like, share, and subscribe. You can find out more about the podcast on the Twitter page at AzeemDigiAsks, all one word, and also on my website, which is iamazeemdigital.com. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, you can get in touch with me via my website. And that's it from me. Looking forward to the next episode already. Take care.